Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com. Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN. Benzodiazepines.
Mama won't tell. All right, back on the Jeff Caucus Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Caucus Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
It's painfully true. Pretty rain.
Trying to join me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's California by John Murray, a North Mississippi Memphis guy who followed his wife out to San Francisco and wrote a song about how much he loved his wife and kids but hated San Francisco.
While you are heading to San Francisco, leaving wife and kids, Mother's Day, including Mother's Day, by the way, as you are heading out west. Don't you, by the way, have a vacation? At some point, if the Grizzlies keep winning, don't you have a vacation scheduled? Is it? Are you
I do. We were at dinner with Artemis when he first got into town, and we were talking about this, my wife and I. And he claimed to have the NBA final schedule memorized.
Okay.
So he told us, I have not double-checked this myself, he told us I would be here for game one of the NBA Finals, but would miss game two, three, four, so and be back for game five of the NBA Finals.
This is the playoff stuff. Well, and let's be honest, they will be. I don't know what the betting odds. Jeffrey, what are the betting odds now for who's going to win this series?
You know what the answer is. So it's basically back to what it was to start the series. So the Grizzlies are like plus 280, and the Warriors are like minus 350.
It's decided on this. Is that right? So
it's
decided still.
It's essentially the reverse odds of the Timberwolves series.
But the Grizzlies next, and the Grizzlies certainly are getting sun. Seems unlikely. But not inconceivable. Have you spent a lot of time in San Francisco in your life?
Only once. We did a vacation pre-COVID. We did a family road trip. We flew into John Wayne Airport, Santa Ana, California. Maybe Santa Rosa, I don't remember. One of those below Los Angeles. And we rented a car. We spent 10 days driving all over. We spent time in L.A., time in Yosemite, and then time in the Bay Area. So.
And what do you do in the Bay Area? So the Golden Gate Bridge is, in fact, as beautiful as it looks. It's fantastic. It's spectacular. What else did you do besides?
Yeah, well, we have friends who live in the show, which is like 40 minutes outside, so we spent time with them. But I don't know what it was, 8 hours, in San Francisco. We did do Alcatraz. That was the most touristy thing we did. We walked around the Ferry Building. We knocked around Chinatown. We looked at city lights. We went to the store. My daughter and I went up to the top of Point Tower. walk around Japan Town.
Yeah, it's a walkable place. I've never done Alcatraz. Was it?
Yeah, no, I think it's worth doing.
Daily Memphian about the Warriors' drop job problem, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. Before I get to that, obviously the news that emerged yesterday was that in order, Draymond Green was fired for $25,000. $100,000 not coming back. Dylan Brooks was suspended for one game, and Stephen Adams, although he's out of health and safety protocols, that the Wizards are. See how it'll be.
It's California.
We'll play in Bay Area, but I think it's pretty obvious that we expected a one-game suspension, and there was a one-game suspension. You fine with that? Move on?
Yeah, that was the immediate outcome, and I am fine with that, and I would very much like to move on, but I don't think moving on is going to be an option.
Well, I mean, moving...
It's gonna be a wild scene in Game 4. I hope it's not too wild of a scene.
It is going to be a wild scene in Game 4. I was surprised that as a discussion point, it was... I mean, I get... I don't know. Like, I Taylor Jenkins said what he said, and that's a little... I don't think Steve Kerr actually called the Grizzlies dirty. He said it was a dirty play.
He called that play dirty.
Exactly. He said it was a dirty play. Taylor Jenkins responded, "We're not a dirty team." Both of those things can be true, whatever dirty is, you know, whatever. We've had this discussion a million times over. I was a little surprised that Steve Kerr kept harping on it yesterday, you know?
No, I agree, and I worry that exacerbates the scene that will – I worry that he's riling up the fans there too much, and so I wish he'd let it go. I think he was in his rights to say what he said after the game,
right,
and to be angry about it and to say what he said. I have no quarrel with anything he said. I'm not really interested in arguing about whether it was dirty or
right.
not. I mean, it was certainly reckless and unnecessary and deserved the punishment that it got, in my opinion. But to me, he should have just moved on. So I wasn't crazy right. about him going on into it. And I tried to just ignore this, but it became impossible to ignore. I really wasn't crazy about this little, you know, minority ripple among Grizzlies fans of actually wanting Jordan Poole to get suspended, which I thought was ridiculous.
Yeah, Jordan Poole wandered onto the court, but there was nothing came of it. And so I think that was a distinct minority of it was like people discovered in looking at the video that he had taken three steps onto the court and so then wanted him to be suspended. Yes, he was never going to be suspended. I'll jump ahead to Game 4 since I won't, you know, whatever. It will be bedlam when Dylan Brooks plays in Game 4.
Yeah, you thought the Andre Iguodala win was something. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. I will be really fascinated to how Dylan Brooks responds, though. Don't you?
No, I agree.
Will he respond by just playing fabulously? You can imagine that. He was booed every minute, every time. Now, not to this degree, but in Utah he was booed last year every time he touched the ball. So you could imagine him having a tremendous game. Like, he doesn't seem – or you can imagine him trying to prove them wrong and taking every stupid shot in the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible for me to get Dylan Brooks' head, and obviously he has not spoken in the aftermath of all this.
Right.
I don't think he cares about getting booed. I do suspect that he regrets what happened with Gary Payton,
does.
Right? And,
yeah.
and you don't know how that, like, impacts you. Like, not to make Dylan Brooks some kind of victim in this, because Gary Payton was the victim, but you don't know how that's going to impact you as a player. Like, if I had done that to a guy, to someone, like, unintentionally, like, that, I don't know. I don't know how I would react to that, you know, when I start playing again, right? I don't know.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that is jumping ahead to Game 4. As far as Game 3, I expect that Steven Adams and Zaire Williams will start along with, obviously, Morant, Jackson, and Bane. Do you similarly expect that?
That would be my guess as well. I sort of feel like the I'm sorry for the noise here. I'm here at the
That's
airport,
fine.
As you
We're,
mentioned.
Yeah.
There's a guy rolling by me with a big cart. I sort of suspect sticking with Xavier Tillman, which ended up working in Game 2 because he played really well. But I sort of suspect sticking with him in Games 1 and 2 was sort of keeping the seat warm for Steven Adams.
Right.
That it's easy to slip Steven Adams right back into that role.
And so, yeah, I kind of feel like they're going to – I feel like Stephen Adams is going to be jumping the ball at center court when the game three tips off. That would be my guess.
It does not seem to me to be a bad idea.
I think there's upside. There's risk and reward in Stephen Adams in this series. But I think I want to find out. And I think there is potential reward there. I think – people have been surprised that they're not dominating the boards in this series. Well, Stephen Adams is their best rebounder. Right? They are playing without their best rebounder. And some of the half-court offense stuff you wonder about, like Stephen Adams is not a scorer,
right,
but really helps their half-court offense. The picks he sets for Ja Morant, the offensive rebounding, the way he can handle the ball and make passes out of the high post. Like, they've taken a lot of tools out of their toolkit in terms of their half-court offense by not playing Stephen Adams. Now, I think that was warranted because of the damage he was doing defensively against the Minnesota series. And it may very well be the same in this series, but I'm willing to find out.
Okay, defensively, what's what is the risk? There is no Karl Anthony Towns, obviously.
But they play small. They spread everything out. There's lots of movement. And so the problem with Stephen Adams is he can't really guard in space. So that could mean guarding the perimeter against Karl Anthony Towns. It could just mean guarding on the perimeter against, like, all kinds of dudes flying around, right?
Right. And of course, then the other question with Stephen Adams is, what does he look like? He has had COVID, we presume, because otherwise they wouldn't have tested him. It wouldn't have been and some players have come back immediately off COVID and look fine, and some players have languished a little bit after they come off from COVID. He looked perfectly cheerful yesterday, but I can't judge his state of fitness. And so there's that question as well. In terms of Zaire Williams, I guess I expect it because that's what they've done.
That's what they did to start the second half of game two.
Right, yeah. And so, and do you have any objection to that?
I don't have an objection to it. It's not what I would do. I think I would start Melton.
Right.
But I don't have an objection to it, no. I mean, Williams played really well in the second half. They're both up and down players in different ways, and they're both going to have to play a lot with Brooks out. And so I don't really, who starts, who doesn't, to me, not that big of a deal.
Well, that will be very interesting, too, in terms of how he meets the moment. Like, there have been times when he certainly was unfazed, in game two. There have been other times this year he's looked like a rookie. And so it'll be – and I don't know that he'll have ever played in an atmosphere like this one. So so that'll be fascinating. All right, your piece today was about the Ja Morant problem that the Warriors have, and we discussed some of this yesterday, but you have much more detail in today's piece, including the shots that Ja is getting, taking, everything else. Very different this series than last series. How so?
Yeah, his shot profile has changed, and I think that's a direct result of the defense. And I think from a Golden State perspective, the distribution in terms of what percentage you're taking where different parts on the floor is what they want. He's taking a way – his percentage of shots from perimeter has doubled from the Minnesota series to games 1 and 2 against Golden State. His percentage of attempts at the rim has gone down. I mean, that's what Golden State wants. The problem for Golden State is he's making the shots at every level, and he's taking a lot of them. And so, Minnesota got the ball out of his hands. Golden State has kept the ball in his hands, and they're baiting him into the kind of shot distribution they probably want, but he's making them anyway. And so that's kind of a problem.
Just so people can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian, some of this, by the way, in against Minnesota, 63% of his shots were at the rim. So far in this series, 48% of his shots at the rim. Interestingly, though, against Minnesota, even he gets to the rim, he was making under 50% of his shots at the rim, whereas now that has gone up considerably. Now... Here's another interesting thing is that 40% of his threes, 40% of his shots have been threes in this series, but essentially no corner threes. They've all been, pull up. What's happening there?
Yeah, and in the regular season, by the way, he shot better from the corners. And so Again, I think the shots he's getting are ones Golden State sort of wants him to get. He's just making them. But I think what the difference between the corner and the above the break shows you is on the ball versus off the ball. I think he was getting corner threes against Minnesota because he gave the ball up and went and stood in the corner. And he's not getting corner threes in this series because they're not taking the ball out of his hands. So the threes are him at the top of the key, like looking at a defense, stepping back and saying, okay, fine, and then shooting.
Right. All right, so what are their options now? They obviously, by the way, would Andre Iguodala, you know, he's not looked, he's certainly not prime of his career, Andre Iguodala. Would he have been particularly helpful in this? And is the loss of Gary Payton particularly significant in this as they deal with Ja?
Well, I think it's significant in the sense that Gary Payton was their best option and that he had been playing well beyond that, offensive rebounding and everything else. But, like, Ja lit up Gary Payton in the first quarter of Game 1, too. I mean, they started Gary Payton for the purpose of guarding Ja Morant. Right. Ja Morant had 14 points in the first quarter. So I don't think Gary Payton's a Ja Morant stopper. I do think he's the best option they had. He couldn't possibly be worse than Jordan Poole right now, but he's not his former self, so I don't know how much impact he would really make.
So what do they do? What are their options?
I think they got to do, you know, not exactly what Minnesota did, but they got to do what teams tend to do. Ja Morant, as he will tell you, they got to blitz him. They got to throw multiple people at him instead of switching these pick and rolls and then guarding straight up. They should throw multiple defenders at him and either make him try to, you know, split a double team, which he can do, or make him pass the ball. That's what they should do, and I suspect they'll do that a lot more.
If they do it, and obviously that's what Minnesota did, almost to Ja's exasperation. You know, against Minnesota, he was like, what do you want me to do? You know, I got two, I beat a guy, and there's
12
two
assists.
Yeah,
you know,
he kind of rolled his eyes at him. He said, it's the right basketball play. It's clearly not what he favored, but it does honestly go to, like, he is adapting to whatever he is taking what the defense gives him. In that series, he did what the defense required, and so he was dishing to teammates, and Desmond Bane was spectacular. Who is there?
Yeah, this is why Bane is essential.
Yeah.
I think Bane is essential. Bane being healthy and getting back in a groove is essential for the Grizzlies.
Because who else do you trust?
You don't.
I think
I think there is hope.
Yes.
That both. I mean, when you talk, you think about the perimeter, but I think there is hope and reason for hope that both Jaren Jackson Jr. And or Steven Adams can make a big impact offensively in different ways. But I think there's gold to be mined with both of those guys against the Warriors in a half court offense. So that would be part of my hope. But Bane's front of the list. Bane's essential.
And then you hope that DeAnthony Melton is making shots. That's obviously critical.
They got good Melton in Game 1. They got good Zaire Williams in Game 2. It'd be nice to get good at least one of those two guys in Game 3. Yeah.
On Bane, it's just, you know, we will not know. We won't know until we literally see him play because, they said, oh, he looked great and whatever. And then, and days will have passed and he will be in the starting lineup. I'm, you know, relatively certain unless there's some horrible setback. But until we literally see him, you know, shoot, when you watched him in Game 2 and you said you saw him looking comfortable making threes in the warm-up, like what did you observe physically?
Yeah, at halftime when he came out and they were just shooting around, he was drilling all of his threes. To me, but there's no defense on him, so it's easier that way. To me, the issue that I saw with him is when he had defense on him, he could not get into his shot motion quick enough. It just didn't. When you watch players play, like, you know, 80-something times a year, like we have the Grizzlies, you sort of get used to the rhythms of how their bodies move by watching them. And Bane, you're used to, that's a three about to go up, and then it doesn't happen. And it didn't happen just because I assume something about raising his arms above his head, there was a little bit of an impingement there that he just could not get into the motion quick enough when he had defenders flying at him and flying by him the way he normally does. And so it's not just that he shot poorly in Game 2, which he did, it's that he didn't shoot very much.
Right.
Even though he played a lot of minutes, he just couldn't get into a shot.
All right, and then obviously it's been sort of interesting because the Phoenix series it's already 2-0, and you know they look terrific. Embiid is absence has certainly taken the shine off of that series. The other series is interesting. Obviously, Milwaukee and Boston. The games in themselves haven't been as compelling, but that's an interesting series. But it does feel like everyone is focusing on this series as the most interesting of the four, far and away. And then there were new numbers yesterday about, you know, what people are watching on social media, and they're all watching Ja on social media. Do you think no matter what happens in this series, we've reached the point where I know you've never wanted the Grizzlies to play on Christmas, for example, but like, do you think
it's not that I don't want them to, right. It's that I don't crave it, and right, I probably won't be there when they do.
Exactly. Do you think we've reached the point that they've now entered that? Like, when we look up next year, they're going to be a featured team?
Yeah, no. I think just because they'll have been coming off a good season and expected to be good again. And then B, they'll have one of the, you know, I think 5 to 10 biggest stars in the league. And I think that's maybe even a conservative estimate.
Yeah. All right. Have a good trip, Chris. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. See you later.
That is Chris Harrington from the airport. I wish him well on that trip. I will tell you, by the way, that the NBA, during the NBA playoffs, over at FanDuel, every single week during the NBA playoffs, you can do the no sweat same game parlay. And what that means is that if you bet your same game parlay, put together your same game parlay, and if you win, you'll get your money fast. The FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of the NBA, which means it's safe, it's secure, all of that. That's the place to bet. If you don't win, you get up to $20 in free bets every single week of the NBA playoffs. So here we are. We're in the second series, but this will be going on for a good long while, and this is a weekly deal. So every single week, you get up to $20 in free bets if you do not win. What you got to do is download the app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and use promo code Calkins. That is CALKINS. Must be 21 or older in present Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 a week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. All right, I think what we're going to do now is we will talk to y'all. Phone number is 535-3776. It's our last chance of the week. It's fine. You okay with the Dylan Brooks suspension? You okay with who they're going to start, which appears, if we're guessing, to be Steven Adams and Zaire Williams? And by the way, I would also like to hear, there's been this, which we've talked about a little bit, this sort of, if you're on social media, have you found for the Warriors fans to be particularly obnoxious and toxic? We've talked about some of the experiences that some folks have had. I hate generalize from to an entire fan base, but I would be interested in your experiences. And anything else you want to say about this series? It's going to be a big weekend as we get ready for Game 3. Phone number is 535-3776. Talk and Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeffrey, when disaster strikes, who do you call?
Service Master by Cornerstone.
There you go. That's what you got to know. You got to know that when disaster strikes, and we hope it does not strike for you. But, you know, at some point in our lives, a tree falls on our house, or water, you got a water pipe burst, or smoke damage, or mold. All you got to know, Service Master by Cornerstone. The phone number is 624-9200, 624-9200. 200 smcornerstone.com. They are the largest franchise in 600 miles, and they can put you right. They work with every insurance company, and so in that moment, just remember, Service Master by Cornerstone. We had a small disaster during the interview with Chris Harrington. We apologize for that. Some of you were nice enough to call it to our attention. Evidently, when Chris was talking about Alcatraz,
the first person that
knew,
the first person that knew there was a problem was me. But
Jeffrey knew, but we still, you never know. Like, we do appreciate the 10,000 people who let us know that it was happening, and we were a little slow to react, but most of Chris we were able to hear.
Yes.
And the rest was mostly his tourist suggestions around San Francisco.
Correct.
All right. Phone number is 535. We do have other things to talk about, other news, including the Kentucky Derby and all sorts of things. But the phone number is 535-3776. How are you feeling headed into game three? What's your level of confidence? Were you upset by the Dylan Brooks suspension? Did you expect it? Basically, what's your mindset as we head into the weekend and into game three? We start 535-3776 is the phone number. Frank downtown. Frank, how are you, sir?
Jeff, how are you?
We're okay.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, real quick, I got to correct you on something. In the original story on the half shell, it was noted that Dan Conaway, columnist for Daily Memphian, yep, was the one who hit him.
And oh, it was. In the original story, it said that as well.
In the original story, yes. Yeah, so we knew it was Dan Conaway.
I see.
So we thought and so, he was liquored
so,
up.
So he was. He, let's be clear. Dan was not liquored up.
I know. I'm just teasing.
But Dan did. Oh, so basically, he didn't have to out. He was already had been outed.
Everybody knew it was him already because they had put it in parentheses in the original article.
I so, see.
I've
subsequently heard from other people who've worked at the half shell. Evidently, yeah, people have hit that place before. It's not the first time.
It's just that intersection is terrible, man, because the backup from the train tracks and everything is just really bad.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, real quick. Did you see did you see the picture of Rachel Heck and Steph Curry on Facebook?
I did see that.
Terribly disappointing.
It is awesome.
but she says she's rooting for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, she's wearing a Ja Morant jersey.
Yeah, exactly. So that's okay. What's disappointing about that?
Awesome. We need nothing. No positive stories about the Warriors until the series is over.
I thought it was really nice. Yeah,
that's absolutely my point.
100%. Sorry, Jeffrey.
No, real quick.
Immersed in bitterness.
I called you back a couple of week and a half ago when the series was tied 2-2 with Minnesota, and I told you one thing about the NBA playoffs. They're hard, Jeff. They're really, really hard.
They're hard. And my
expectation is that this Grizzly team makes older teams look old, and I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, I'll be quite honest with you.
So you're optimistic. You are optimistic.
Very optimistic.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, they certainly made – listen, they certainly made Klay Thompson look old. And Steph is old. Like, most people don't age like LeBron James. You know,
he is a one of one.
Most people age more like you and me.
Yes.
And so I don't know. It is weird that they lose home court advantage in the first two games, and yet I feel more optimistic about them after those first two games.
I think it's simply because Ja's getting what he wants.
Yeah. I think that's it.
And the last series, I mean, Chris nailed it. The Timberwolves basically were saying, like, get the ball out of his hands. He's not going to beat us. Let's make the other guys beat us. And then eventually over the course of the series.
So do you think they're going to change? What do you expect? What do you expect in terms of beyond continued whining from Steve Kerr? Who, by the way, Steve Kerr, I would have said, I mean, I like J.B. Bickerstaff because of the relationship we had with him. But apart from, you know, current Memphis coaches and stuff.
Yes.
I would have said Steve Kerr is one of my favorite coaches in the league. I like Steve Kerr. He obviously has an incredibly gripping personal story. I think he's generally been a thoughtful guy. He's very good to deal with in media circumstances. And I understand that he's mad about a player getting injured, right?
Yes.
I just think it's a little much now, the little high-blown talk about breaking a freaking code.
I think the Grizzlies scouting report says be physical with them. They don't like it. It throws them off their game. And I think that he is doing everything he can.
He's trying to work the officials.
Correct.
So all that talk about physical play, we know they're going to come for us.
Yes.
Physical play in advance of game two was him working the officials.
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. Don't you think that game three will in fact be called close because of the sense that there is a that the temperatures are boiling over a little bit here? Don't you imagine that he will get what he wants? If that's what he is looking for, don't you imagine he will get what he wants in game three, which is
the problem though with, I do expect it to be, I think they're going to try to keep the series from, I think the NBA wants the Dylan Brooks suspension to be the end of that. The problem is, I don't think the Grizzlies are the ultimate, like, don't back down. You know, don't take it from anyone.
And Draymond Green is out of his mind.
And Draymond Green's Draymond Green. Like, he's not changing. Like, we now know. Like, this isn't going to be, you know, everyone just on their best behavior. Like, I don't know if you can control it.
Do you subscribe, by the way? Okay, let's start with, let me break this down into two questions.
All right.
If you could get a true answer from the NBA executives and from television executives as to who they would like to advance into the next series, you do believe that they would say the Warriors, don't you?
Yes, I don't really think it's that close.
Right, despite the new Ja mania that's
correct
out there, it is not that close.
Yes.
Okay, we do agree on that.
Yes.
They want the Warriors to win. Do we believe that that has any, and I go that far, I don't go to the, and therefore the whistle will favor the Warriors.
No, because how would you explain the last 3 years? Like, I don't think, in the end.
I mean, hell, the Grizzlies bounced them last year.
Yeah, I mean, in the end.
And honestly, the Grizzlies are more attractive relative to the Warriors. Warriors more attractive than the Grizzlies now nationally and last year nationally. But last year, the gap was a lot different, a lot bigger, because Ja hadn't emerged yet as a superstar, and the Grizzlies just went out and bounced him.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, in a true sports competition, your competition has to be untainted. Like, it has to be fair. Like, become professional wrestling at that point.
Of course, TV executives and the league and whatever have preferences.
Yes.
But I do balk at the idea that those preferences spill over into the officiating. I think it's proven that the home court gets a better whistle.
No question. There's
like
been,
that,
there's
that
been
study
studies.
After study
yes.
after study that home teams get a better whistle.
Yes.
Okay. Well, given that y'all apparently do not want have anything more to say, and this is what happens when you go five, six, seven
everyone's
days.
Everyone's fighting on Twitter
games,
right now.
And are they fighting on Twitter?
I'm just saying.
Like, right. So I do have some other things I wanted to address, okay?
All right.
Totally unrelated to Grizzly stuff because we haven't gotten – we've been basically ignoring the rest of the world while we have been talking about the Grizzlies. First of all, yesterday the story – and you may have talked about it in the afternoon show – was that college leaders were in Washington, D.C. asking for NIL legislation. They, of course, didn't want anything before, but now that everyone is using the NIL to bid for players, they want some sort of legislation. What do you make of that, and do you expect them to be successful?
I do think it is interesting that Greg Sankey was one of the ones going to Capitol Hill.
Right.
Because the common thought was, well, the SEC is going to love this world. Like, in the end, it's they've had professional football longer than anyone, so they're just going to – they're built for this. Well, what we're starting to see is
– They don't want money going to players.
Well,
siphoned off and going to players?
I don't think it's even necessarily that. I think the problem they know is if this is going to be a situation where Miami's putting together, you know, billionaires that are just essentially buying players, well, they can't compete in that world. Like, they have basically one school right now that can compete in that world. It's Texas A&M. And the rest of the league is sitting there going, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so what's interesting to me, though, is I don't what is the incentive
what would the legislation
for lawmakers?
Look like?
I don't know. I mean, also one of the pretty much most universally popular angles is let the kids get theirs. You know what I mean? And
right.
So I don't know what type of legislation they could introduce that would be popular in some, you know, in the end, they're lawmakers. Like, I don't know. There's not really a great angle for them.
Okay. Next story we have not talked about, and that is that, did you notice that Debo is now following the 49ers again?
So I always thought in the end he was likely to return to the Niners because the Niners want him back. Like, some of the other situations where it was...
Well, I think originally the Titans wanted A.J. Brown back originally.
Yes,
right?
But I'm saying all along, like, the Titans, I do think, wanted A.J. Brown back, and then they said the goalpost kept getting changed
right.
on them, and so then they made a decision. I think, in the end, the problem with Debo is Debo wants some assurances. I don't want to be a running back. You know what I mean? And I...
Is that, by the way, let me ask you this. Is that being selfish? You know, you're like, normally the thing you say about it he'll do anything to win.
Sure.
He'll do anything for the team. He'll whatever else. And here he's basically, the team has decided the best way for you to help us win is to be a receiver, but also to sometimes act as a running back. And he's like, no.
Well, I think there's two questions in there. Is it selfish? Obviously, it's selfish. He wants to extend his career.
Like, yeah, it's not unreasonable.
But is he being a bad teammate? No.
No, it's not unreasonable. It's just not. I agree with that. But anyway, he refollowed. It is funny what matters now. He refollowed. He had scrubbed his Instagram of any reference to the Niners, and now I gather he refollowed the Niners on Instagram. Did you see what Shohei Ohtani did last night?
I did not. Did he do amazing baseball things?
He struck out 11 at Fenway and got two hits as the Angels beat the guy's unfreaking believable. He is the first pitcher since Babe Ruth to be in the to bat in the top four, top of the order, at Fenway Park in 1919.
He's the most fun thing in baseball. It's amazing.
It's just unbelievable.
He is an elite pitcher and an elite hitter at the same time.
Crazy. And it is a mark of how much baseball has regressed.
Yes.
That we think about how much more we talk about LeBron than him.
Sure.
Now, of course, he's not on a team. He's not competing for championships.
Correct.
That helps, too. Mets, by the way, the amazing Mets, I like to call them.
Mm-hmm.
They trailed by six heading into the ninth, and they beat Philly anyway. Pete Carroll has said that I don't in any way see us making a trade for another quarterback by the start of regular season.
Yeah, so essentially I think what everyone is doing is people are willing to take Baker, but they want the Browns to pay for him, basically. And the
so
Browns
you don't
are,
take this seriously. You just this is posturing.
I think this is bargaining. This is negotiating. Because I think the Panthers were basically in the same spot. Like they will take Baker, but they want the Browns to pay essentially. I think Baker's owed $23 million, and the number I saw was like $18 million is what people want the Browns to pay. And I just don't think they're going to do that. And then the Browns have the weird situation where there are people out there that believe that they think that Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended for the year, so Baker's under contract, he should play. Now, I also could think that's posturing.
Sergio Garcia was playing golf yesterday. That's what he does for a living.
Yes.
And he couldn't find his ball.
Mm-hmm.
And
the rules official,
you get 3 minutes to look for your ball.
Quick clock.
He thought that the 3 minutes should commence after he crossed the river. It wasn't a river, but
yeah,
you know
it was,
what I'm
it
saying.
Was a stream, yes.
It was a stream. A stream. He took a while to get around the stream, and he thought the 3 minutes should start after he got over the stream and started looking for his ball. The rules official started before he forded the stream, and so in frustration, Sergio Garcia was overheard saying, "I can't wait to leave this tour."
Yes.
Suggesting
he's going to the Saudi.
That he's
going to
leave this tour.
Yes.
And that he's going to go to the Saudi tour. Lee Westwood, Garrigus, right, hasn't he? And yeah. Phil have all right. asked for
waivers.
Waivers so they can play the first event, which I believe
it's in London.
In London, and it's coming up soon in June.
Yes, I think it's either right.
What's
going to
ultimately
right
what is ultimately going to happen Open. With this tour?
It's going to go on because the Saudis aren't doing this as a business operation. They're doing this for sports washing and what. So it has. I don't know if you've seen
in
the price.
10 years. What's golf world of golf going to look like?
I think this is just going to be like the European. It's going to be another tour and.
Will the PGA Tour be diminished in any way by the existence of this tour?
I don't think so. They're going to lose a few guys here and there, but I mean the real answer is going to be what do the courts say? Because right now the PGA Tour is saying that you can't go and support another tour, so that's why they've started to call it a series. And I mean this whole thing's going to be a legal battle. But it's not going away.
All right. We got it. We are going away just briefly. We'll come back with a one story waiting for it. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jeff's guests appear on the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. ServiceMaster by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
No, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said,
let's think about Mother's Day brunch. And for fun, let's go right to the cocktails at Bounty on Broad.
Let's do.
Let's go right to the cocktails. Wouldn't It Be Loverly is Old Dominic Vodka, strawberry, cucumber, and Prosecco.
Doesn't that sound refreshing?
Doesn't that sound refreshing? Mimosa is, in fact, a mimosa, as you would expect. Nothing But Blue Skies. That's Hendrix Gin, Tattersall Blueberry Liqueur, Mint, Lemonade, and Club Soda. That sounds refreshing as well. Your Bounty Bloody Mary, Bounty house-made Bloody Mary mix with your choice of Tito's Vodka, Old Dominic Gin, Altos Playa Tequila, and then something called Tattersall Aquavit. Is that right? It's a freaking Bloody Mary.
Yes.
Delicious, for God's sakes. And then go ahead and get Mom the Eggs Purgatory.
Oh, yeah.
And the and get yourself the Eggs Christophine. Go ahead and get some beignets, some fried oysters, the best fried oysters I've ever had in my life. They got a kids' brunch menu as well for if your kids bring a kid along for 12 and under. So no better place to celebrate Mom than Bounty on Broad. The phone number is 410-813-1, 410-813-1. It is 2519 Broad Avenue. The music means that I will not get to the one story I'm waiting for. And so, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And to all who, this is the first Mother's Day I've ever had where my mom was gone. And I've often thought about, as we celebrate Mother's Day, those who have lost their mothers. And what a sort of poignant day that is. And so my thoughts are to you all too, all of the you who have thinking wonderful warm thoughts and wish you could wish your mother happy Mother's Day on Sunday and take her out for brunch. Jeffrey is going to be gone next week. Well-deserved vacation, going to France, for God's sakes.
Viva.
And so that'll be fun. But he will be back the week after that. We are going to have a whole lot to talk about. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff Ryan McDonough is going to join Jason and John during the next hour. Blake Topmeyer is going to join us on Giannotto and Jeffrey today. Wilkin joins GP at 4:25, Jeff at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back on Monday for now. Work is done.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.